Well, a desire and interest in your prayers and your attention today. Thank the Lord for a new day. I know it's maybe a little cooler today than we would anticipate this time of year, but I'm very thankful for the beautiful sunshine we have outside and grateful for the sunshine of God's love and that can be in each one of our hearts. As thinking about the inspiration I've had for today and realize it seems like I've had a message not so long ago, somewhat similar, and if you feel like it's a rerun, I ask for you to bear with me, and maybe I'm the one that needs it. But I want us to think about today ensuring our success as a Christian. So ensuring success. Many times in my occupation, there are situations where the person that's paying the money for the repair wants to know, are you sure this is going to fix my problem? I don't want to spend this large amount of money for a repair and it not resolve what my concern was. So it becomes a real issue, and the repair industry, it wouldn't matter if you was fixing somebody's air conditioner or at your house or the plumbing or whatever, you want to know that what I'm spending is going to resolve my concern. And we want to know, how can we be successful as a Christian? I think of the many areas in life that we look on and say that a person is successful, successful marriage. Someone that's been married 50 years, we'd say, well, that's success. If someone has had a friendship that has lasted from childhood, we've known of those that had a friend for ever since they were in grade school, they've been friends. And maybe it wasn't from grade school, but maybe it's someone that you've maintained a friendship with for maybe 20 years or something like that. And so we'd say that's a successful friendship, a successful relationship. Someone follows an occupation for 20 or 30 or 40 or maybe 50 years, we'd say, well, they must be pretty good at it. You know, to work on the same type of job, I would say they're successful whatever the label that you want to put on the occupation. Someone that maybe is able to save and put some money back during the course of their working life, and when it comes time for retirement, they're able to live and have maybe some, I don't know, maybe travel a little bit or do something that they dreamed about doing while they was working, we'd say, well, they were financially successful. If somebody is successful in sports, we don't capitalize on that a whole lot, but if somebody is successful in a particular sport area, or maybe playing a musical instrument, someone that maybe is a renowned player, a piano player or something like that, and you say, well, they're a successful pianist. All of those kind of areas, we look on that and say there has to be something that helps them to be successful. And if we look at someone that has lived for God and been a Christian all down through their life, maybe someone says, I don't ever remember them being unsaved. Well, that'd be success, wouldn't it? So what goes into making a person successful? In each one of those areas we talked about, we could spend some time discussing what makes your marriage been able to survive 50 years, or what makes you be able to stay in the same line of work for 20 years or 30 years. How have you been successful? And we would have to say, well, there are certain things you do and there are certain things you don't do in every one of those things. And the same thing goes for being a Christian, for living for God. There's going to be a set of things that we would have to say, well, these are things you just don't do, and these are things that you do do. So I would like to explore that a little bit. I'm not interested here in teaching this this morning anyway about how to play the piano or how to be good at playing basketball or something like that. But I want us to be successful as a Christian, because ultimately when we get down to the end of life's way, we need to say, or hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I'm here for. I'm not here because I like to stand in front of people, or you like to sit, or we like to, I like to sing. I like the songs, but that's not the ultimate goal, is that I would be able to be successful as a Christian. So I'd like to look at a few points this morning, and I'd like for us to consider the message behind that. The first two verses we're going to look at is in the Sermon on the Mount. So I'd like to go to Matthew, the 5th chapter, and notice one that we have probably all said as a Bible verse. If we said Bible verses as a small child, and we'll probably hear some of our little children as they mature say this verse at some point or another, and maybe multiple times, and that's fine. It's a good verse for all of us to remember. It's in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. He says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Now, all of us like to be filled, and many times we skip over the first part of the verse, because what we're interested in is being filled. We want the glory. We want the peace. We want the satisfaction. We want the contentment. We want the assurance that we're going to meet God in peace. And that's what we want. We want the filling of that. But we've overlooked the first part. So one of the keys, one of the points that I feel like we have to recognize is we have to cultivate an appetite, hungering and thirsting. You're not going to gain weight if you're not hungry, if you don't want to eat, if you don't want to drink and consume the food that brings energy, that brings nourishment, that helps you to grow thereby. There are many times a family that moves to the United States, for instance, from a impoverished nation that has a very limited food supply, and when they move to the United States, their children that maybe they brought with them as small children, because of the diet and the availability of food here in the United States, their children are just bigger than their parents. We've seen that happen. People that come from impoverished lands, and you come here, and because of financial opportunity, and because of the variety of food, and there's more nourishment. We're not eating just gruel three times a day. I wonder sometimes if the reason that my maternal grandfather was not any taller than he was because he ate biscuits three times a day. I don't know. You know, biscuits and gravy is good, but, you know, three times a day, I mean, there has to be, there's a limit to how strong and tall you get on biscuits and gravy. They didn't have a lot of meat. They had flour, and so they made, you know, a little bacon grease goes a long way in seasoning up some gravy. But, you know, biscuits and gravy three times a day is not, you're not going to grow. Most likely, you're not going to be 6 foot tall and eat biscuits and gravy three times a day. That's just a reality. So we're not going to mature, and we're not going to grow in stature. We're not going to grow in ability. We're not going to be successful as a Christian if we don't have a hunger and an appetite. That means that we're looking for ways to feed my soul. We have so much on the plate or on the table today. We have a little pamphlet back there at the back of the chapel for resources. Some congregations have a Zoom service every Sunday. We're not doing that, but you could have you could tune into that. There's the website where you can go and download or listen to messages. You can listen to messages, multiple messages a day, every day, and not run out of messages to listen to because they're available. But if you don't have an appetite for it, guess how much they're good they're going to do you? None. That's right. They're not going to do you any good if we don't have an appetite for the Word, if we don't have an appetite to read and to listen and to pray, we're not going to grow. We're not going to be successful. We're going to fall in that other category that we don't like to think about, and that's called failure. So we must have an appetite. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The next verse is in Matthew 6, in verse 33. Chapter 6, in verse 33. Jesus still speaking here about on the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you, unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We kind of skim over that, and the last part says, "And all these things will be added unto you." I like all these things. I have a lot of things. It's easy for me to accumulate things. And my guess is it's easy for you to accumulate things. It's easy to have so much stuff, we need a bigger barn to put our stuff in. And we're like the man that said, we can be like the man that said, I need to tear down my barn and build bigger because I've got so much stuff. I've got crops and produce, and I've got machinery and all of this. I need more room to put all my stuff. And we like the things. All of us do. I like to be able to have a choice of, do I wear my lace-up shoes or my pull-on shoes? What if you only had one pair of shoes? I venture that all of us here have too many shoes. I don't know. We just have all these things. And we focus on, I want all of these things. And it said, the beginning, the fundamental thing that we got to get a hold of is seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I believe if we'll seek the Lord first, we'll know how to temper our things. Because we can get consumed with things. We were talking about being successful here. We have to hunger, we have to thirst, and we have to seek. Well, what's different in hungering and thirsting and seeking? Well, here's a little point that I'd like to just get a hold of. It's one thing to eat what's set before you. Not asking any questions for conscience sake, right? You know, I know, there's resources. We can listen to messages. People listen to stuff all the time today. I mean, it's a major transition from my youth to now. I'll tell you how people listened to stuff when I was a young man. is they had a battery-powered boombox and they carried it around on their shoulder with the speakers up here close to there. Some of y'all remember that. And they would be walking down the street listening to something, but everybody else was listening too. But today they don't do that. They have these little things in their ears and you can barely tell, is there something in that person's ear? Because when you're talking to them, they're not looking at you. They don't respond. Well, they've got something in their ear and it's Bluetooth to their phone and they're listening to something constantly. And we have resources. We can be listening. We can, if we got any appetite at all, we can be filled up with something that'll inspire us and challenge us and cause us to think about something that will draw us closer to the Lord. But seeking, what's seeking? Seeking is when we hear something. Maybe we tasted something. And I'm not here, okay? I'm not here on the food preparation. But some of you taste food and you say, "Ooh, that's got some paprika in it." I just barely can say paprika. I don't know what it's supposed to taste. I don't know what impact it says has on food. But some of y'all taste that. I wonder if I could make this. You know, you go to Red Lobster and they have, what do they call them things? Cheddar biscuits that you eat too much of. And you think, ooh, I think I can make some of them. And you start looking for what? A recipe. I think I can do that. And maybe you experiment and you try two or three times. That's seeking, you see. And many times we have something inspirational that we consumed or heard when we were listening. And we, you know, I want to study some more about that. I want to go read the whole story because many times in a message like this, I'm going to read one verse and I'm going to capitalize on one point. And this point on this verse is seek the Lord first and then you worry about the things. Seek the Lord first. Well, if you're seeking, you're looking. How did we make that? What else is in that chapter? The rest of this chapter is good. But I'm just focusing on one little point. If you're a seeker, you're going to go home and maybe read the whole chapter at some point. What's he mean when he says the Sermon on the Mount? Where does it start and where does it end? And is it only in the book of Matthew or is there another gospel that records that? That's seeking. Do you see what I'm saying? It's looking for a way to open up your food channel. Make it bigger. We're talking about doing the things that's going to make us successful. When we get to the end of the road, we can approach it with some level of confidence, not in ourselves, but our confidence in our experience. Salvation is of the Lord. It's by His grace and His mercy that we're able to have salvation. But that's another message. What I want us to focus on is what's my part? It's hunger and thirst. It's seek. Let's go to Hebrews 12 and we'll get another point. Hebrews chapter 12. In verse 1 beginning, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." So what we have here, is, in my mind, is a mixture of not only a requirement or a necessary component of being successful, but we have a representative of those that are successful. He says, "Seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." What does that mean? It means there's been others that have made it to the end and been successful. And we ought to pay attention to how they did it. We need to know some of the secrets, some of the things that they did or didn't do. And we also have our ultimate example of Christ put here. He says, Christ, the author and the finisher of our salvation. What did he do of our faith? Because there was something in anticipation, he didn't consider the pain and the suffering of the cross, but he endured that. Seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside some things we shouldn't do. Let us lay aside. You got a hunger, you got a thirst, you got to seek, you got to lay aside. There's some things that people that are training for some athletic events, there's things that they do and there's things that they don't do. There's things that successful Christians do, and there's things that they don't do. It's just part of being successful. Anything you do, if you're going to be successful in my line of work, there's things that you do, and there's things that you don't do. You just don't do that. There's things that you use an impact wrench on, and there's things you don't use an impact wrench on. If it's a plastic something or another and you're putting a bolt in there, you probably better not use your half-inch impact. You better use something different. I remember a torque, I don't want to get off track here. I remember a torque specification on one specific bolt that was on kind of some thin sheet metal, and the book said, the shop manual said, fully seated but not stripped. That was a torque. That's how you're supposed to tighten it. Fully seated, but not stripped. That means you don't put something on there and put any leverage on it. You just kind of snug it up a little bit. Well, the last thing you want is your 18-volt Milwaukee impact on that. Because it's not going to turn out very good. There's things you don't do. So, he says, there's witnesses that's went on before us. There's Christ that's our example. And he said, let us lay aside what? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience. If you're going to run anything, you want to unload some weight, don't you? I'm going to tell you, if you ask me to run a foot race, which wouldn't be very impressive, but if you want me to run a foot race, there's some things I would change right now. I would take the stuff out of my pockets and I'd put on some different shoes. That's two things I would definitely change today. You're going to run this race for the Lord, you're going to have to unload some weights. What are you trying to take along with you and be a Christian? Maybe some habits. Maybe some things that you really know it's not good for you. Maybe it's things that people's looking at. Maybe it's things that you're putting in your body. There's things to lay aside. And there's other things you ought to put on. So what do you got to do? Unload the hindrances. You got a hunger, you got a thirst, you got to seek, you got to unload the hindrances. Those things that you have repetitive failure in. It might be a bad attitude of some sort, and you seem to come up short over and over again. That's something to seek the Lord about. Lord, I want to be victorious here. I want to get that thing behind me. I want to unload it for good. I believe the Lord's got victories like that for us. Don't try to fix everything all at once, maybe, but Lord, there's something here that's plaguing me, and I want to unload this thing. I want to get rid of it. It might be anger. It might be arrogance. I don't know what it is for you or me. But let's ask the Lord to help us unload it. Let's turn to Galatians, the 6th chapter, and notice a couple verses here. Galatians chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 7. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he soweth to his flesh, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith." There's some of this passage that could be kind of rolled into what we've already said, but I want to focus on the ninth verse. He says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing." You've heard me talk about this verse in the past, but I just want us to realize that consistently doing the right thing is one of the things that makes people ultimately successful as a Christian. You can't do the right thing one day a week and the wrong thing 6 days a week and expect to be successful ultimately. I know that some of you work on a job that is very time sensitive, and for you to show up late is a demerit to your performance. And if you show up late 6 or 7 days in a row, you probably won't have a job any longer. It doesn't matter how good you work when you get there. If you're late 6 or 7 days in a row, it's like, we don't need you. So it's important for us to realize, it seems like that's a pretty, I mean, you know, when I'm here, I do time and a half of what this other person does over here. So that should offset my being, you know, some days I'm here 10 minutes early and some days I'm here 30 minutes late. But, you know, look, overall I do more than the average Joe around here. But the right thing to do is be there on time. I'm just talking about a work situation. We have to do the right thing consistently. Yes, does it get wearisome doing the right thing consistently? It sure does. Because there's times you'd like to fly off the handle. There's things that come along that cause you to feel irritable or maybe just like, I don't really like pushing anymore. I just think I'll kick back and just let happen what happens. You want to be successful? I'm not trying to tell you to take on the whole world by yourself. I'm just saying we have to do what we know is right and do it consistently. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Consistently doing the right thing. That's an important point. You remember we said there's some things you don't do. I'm going to read through some verses kind of quickly. Proverbs 1 and 10. Some of y'all know this verse. "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Don't we have that all around us? If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Don't do it. Plain and simple. Just don't. What's the slogan about children avoiding drug? Just say no. Just say no. It's pretty simple. You want to know how to be successful as a Christian? When sinners come along and entice you. And there's more to that chapter too. But if sinners want to entice you to do something, just say no. You don't have to go into any theological discussion. Just say, no, I'm not interested. You don't even have to say, I'm not interested. You just say, no. No. In James 4, in verse 7, the biggest thing here is if we say something that's different than public consensus or popular opinion, many times we feel like we have to explain ourselves. And really, they're the ones that ought to be awkward, not us. No. Something presents to us, it's just no. We don't have to say, well, Jesus said that. No, just no. It's not on my agenda. It's not in my horizon. I'm not going to do it. James 4 in verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil. You know, when you tell the devil no and you don't get drawn into a discussion, you know what happens to him? He wilts. You know what happens when you get into a discussion? You get in trouble. You don't have to discuss it with him. Just say no. Probably they said, the sinner probably said, don't you want to go with us? Come on, you would have a good time. No. Boy, they're going to say that. Just no. And you'll find that the temptation begins to wither. We have to do this with the help of the Lord. It's not in our own strength. Because a lot of times we feel a lot of pressure, and I realize that. I'm human just like you are. I have temptations. I have things that's presented to me by the same entity that presents it to you. It may not be the same person. It may not be the same situation, but it's the same thing that gets presented to me that gets presented to you. And that is something that would draw me away from the Lord. And I have to say, with the help of the Lord, no. I'm not interested. So one of the points that makes us successful is reject and refuse temptation. That'll make you successful. You want to be successful as a Christian? Reject and refuse temptation. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 tells us that there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. God's going to make a way of deliverance. He's going to equip you and enable you to be able to say no to that temptation. The last one that I want us to touch on is in Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 25th verse. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You want to be successful? Come to church. Attend service with others that are intent on being successful. We're not here for a fashion show. We're not here to put on some kind of demonstration. We don't have a smoke machine. We don't have a band. We don't have any fanfare at all. We're just here because we sincerely want to be successful as a Christian. So I want to challenge us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's important. It's valuable. It'll help us. So I'm going to read through the points, and then we'll call this come to a close. We must have an appetite, hunger and thirst. We must seek, search it out. I want to know for myself. I want to do it. We must unload our hindrances be willing to turn loose of those things. Lord, I want some victory over a bad habit. It might be a word that you're saying. It might be an attitude that you got. I want to get rid of it. We must consistently do the right thing. Consistently do the right thing. We must reject and refuse temptation. And we must attend service with others intent on being successful. You want to be successful long term? You want to hear the Lord say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant"? Here's some points that we ought to pay attention to. You know, you can listen to somebody on the radio talking to you about finances, and he's going to say, or they're going to say, here's some things that all millionaires have in common. Here's some things all successful Christians have in common. You going to be successful? You could elaborate on any one of them, but I'm going to tell you, if you just try to do one of them and not the rest of them, it probably is not going to work out very good. You're going to have to have the right blend, and you're going to have to participate in all these. There may be some other points. I'm open for you to seek them out and share them with us. You got another point that'll help us be successful, and you got something on your heart. Come back tonight and share it with us.